I'm so pleased to be back with you again. It's been a number of times you've invited me back, and I'm really surprised and very honoured. Thank you. I always feel home here as soon as I walk through the door. I actually have got the honour of doing the notices back at Clapham Baptist Church, and I usually also lead the singing for the happy birthdays. But I've got to say that I'm going to take a new one back with me about the last verse. or maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. But it's so good to be with you, and we bring, as usual, our love and greetings from Clapham Baptist Church. And of course, looking at the notices, I see that one of the many things you've got going there is a holiday coming up, which is a joint holiday with us lot. So that's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Thank you for inviting me today, and I just want to start, as we always do, with asking the Lord to bless the word he's got for us today. Let's just come in prayer. Your loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, your love, your might, your power, your compassion. Father, we could go on all day because you are beautiful. Lord, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son to us. Father, we thank you for making us your children and bringing us into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that you've not left us alone, because you've sent us the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for each other, Lord, as we meet together in your name this morning here in your church on earth. And so, Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Bible. And Father, we thank you that it is the living word. And we ask this morning now, as we come to your scripture, to bless us with the knowledge of understanding and obedience, that it brings life in all its fullness. Bless us, Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was just catching up with some of the news before the service began, and as I was sitting here, I could hear... We're struggling. That's okay. It doesn't want to stand up. Okay, Dave, thank you for coming to the rescue.
Right.
Right.
A bit of a wobble on it.
Well, I've got to confess that this really does make me feel at home. I could hear that lovely singing coming from the back, and I'd already been told that... you've got a Bible study that takes place. Is that right? Is it something like 3/4 of an hour or so before the morning service on a Sunday? Yeah. A number of people attend, and I was very interested in this because sometimes it's very difficult to get a time that suits people to come and do some extra, as it were, Bible study in a church during the week in our busy lives. And maybe we can cotton on to that idea and take it back with us, that maybe a session before the service could be a good time that might suit many people. But the main reason I'm sort of mentioning it now isn't for those particular reasons. It's just that I do believe that we as Christians, as we meet here this morning, live in an age where we're going to be constantly and increasingly more and more challenged in our faith and in our understanding of who we are and what's it all about, really. Yeah, and that's good, isn't it? Because if we're being challenged, then that's an opportunity, that's not a threat. But in saying that, it's just absolutely essential that each of us, I do believe, are absolutely acquainted with who we are and what we are and who the God is that we're serving. And, you know, what's it all about, Alfie, really, yeah? And how are we going to do that other than study and study God's word. And sometimes it isn't a question, I think most times actually, say sometimes, it isn't a question of advanced technology and rocket science. It's really a question of getting back to basics. And I understand that that is what you're doing. And I really feel led this morning, I wasn't going to say this, I didn't know about it really until I got here, that I just encourage you to do that, because I think that's what we all need. We really do. And I say that again because I've got several readings from the Bible this morning I want to share with you. And it really does take us back so often in God's word to the very, very basics of understanding of our relationship and his relationship with us and ours with him. I'm going to ask a question now which might seem a bit odd to you, but I'll explain it after the reading. But I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 6, which is only a few verses into the Bible. And it's the account of Noah's Ark. Now, is anybody here this morning? Someone asked earlier on, is anyone here for the first time? But is anyone here, you think it's a very strange question, anyone here ever not heard of the flood and the ark and Noah? No, I didn't expect so. Okay, I'll explain why I asked that question later. Let me just share a few verses from chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 9 just to the end of that particular chapter. This is the account of Noah. Now Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And so God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. And put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, animal, creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Amen. I said just before this reading, has any of you not heard of it? And I'm sure we've all got images of this story. And to my mind, when I think of it, I think of Sunday school. Any Sunday school teachers here today? And I just think of the lovely rainbow and the dove and, you know. But really, it just occurred to me as I was preparing myself this week for bringing this message to you that just imagine, we're talking about our faith and who we are. Just imagine that there was someone this morning that happened to pop into this place out of curiosity. Just imagine that they've not been to church before and haven't been brought up in Sunday school and didn't know the Bible, but just popped in. And let's imagine that they didn't have time to stay very long. Yeah? So they popped in, sat at the back, maybe looked a bit bewildered about what was going on. And then they heard me reading what I've just read. And then, unfortunately, it was time for them to go and they couldn't stay any longer and they had to nip out the door and go about their business. Now, I'm saying this because, quite frankly, it is absolutely shocking. What would that man or woman have gone away with the impression of our God? Would they have even believed that they've just heard what they'd heard? Because it is shocking. It is absolutely shocking. It's frightening. It's horrible. I mean, as a child, we have the vision of the animals coming aboard and the, you know, the sunshine and the, you know. But really, as adults, just imagine this. Just imagine Noah and his family locked up and shut in solidly and securely by the Lord and these terrible, terrible floods come in. And I don't know, because the Bible never goes into this sort of detail, but we've got imaginations as human beings. Can you imagine people outside screaming for their very lives, men, women and children, maybe clinging onto the side of the boat, begging Noah and his family to let them in? I don't know. I'm not adding anything to the Bible or taking anything from it. I'm just saying let us imagine. Yeah? And so, what's going on? What is it all about? Now, what I want to share with you this morning is this, that as we meet here this morning in this church, brothers and sisters in Christ, we meet not because it's what we always do, not because our families brought us here and made us come, or any of those things, but we meet because we are a people set apart. And here in the Bible, we've only gone a few pages into the Bible, it's a couple of pages in. We haven't gone far after the wonderful creation of the earth and how beautiful it is. And God's people, before long, God couldn't stand the sight of the sin that they were committing. He couldn't stand it. We have a holy God and he just could not stand it. And dreadfully and sadly and tragically, he came to a decision he was going to bring it to an end. But, and this is the reason we're here today, there was one family, what did it say? Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. And because of that, God set him and his family, him, and I say that again, and his family. He set them apart. He set them apart from the world and from the sin and the evil. And he shut them up into such a secure capsule called an ark that no one could open it or break into it. No one could get to them. And so we read really of what I might consider to be the first covenant with God's people. God has said to his people, I make a covenant with you. And I'm going to bring you out of that place called the world. And I'm going to set you apart. And that's why I wanted to share this first reading with you. Now my second reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And many of you will know immediately that's the Ten Commandments. And the reason I've chosen this morning to share with you, this very, very familiar reading again, very, very, very familiar, very basic, is that we have a situation now where after many years, after many years, God had blessed his people again. I'm just going to remind myself of the little sketch I've made so I can relay it to you. After many years, God made a covenant with a man called Abraham. Because Abraham loved him and obeyed him. And through his family, Isaac and Jacob, he took this family and he turned it into a tribe. He expanded the family into a tribe. And he set them apart from a dangerous world, because I believe that during the 400 years or so that God's people were taken into Egypt, although so often when we think about them being delivered from slavery out of Egypt, and that was quite correct, they were actually taken into that place in the first place, not to be slaves, but to be protected, to be set apart. They needed to be, I often think of it as an incubator, where they're actually being looked after and they're growing. And they were being looked after by a very, very powerful nation, not of God, but a powerful nation who were worshipping other gods. But nevertheless, they were able to be used by God, incredibly enough, to look after his own people and to grow them from a tribe into a nation. He was able to set apart his people in the safety of Egypt to grow them into a nation of holy people. And then, of course, when man decided to take a hand in all this and Pharaoh decided to do his thing, God turned to Moses and delivered his people from Egypt, and he then took them out into a promised land. And on the way, God realized that these people had been exposed for 400 years to the surrounding society with their own standards. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? A society that weren't crowding into his tabernacles and temples. A society that were going about their own business with their own gods. And he decided that his people needed to be set apart again. They needed all the time to be set apart. He was so conscious of making sure that they were set apart. And although physically now we know from the history that he had physically and geographically set them apart, because he'd now taken them out of Egypt towards the promised land, he'd set them apart in that sense. But now I'm talking about a spiritual sense. And God knew that we needed to be living by different standards to people around us in order to be set apart. And if you'll forgive me, I'll just read the whole of the Ten Commandments. The Lord God said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day for keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, daughter, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Can I just stop there and just say, it's interesting to note that the Lord spends more words talking about the Sabbath day than any of the other commands. Just carry on. Honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God, your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbour's house, land, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire and the cloud and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. And so the Ten Commandments had arrived. And remember what Jesus said. Do you remember when he said, I haven't come to alter them, enlarge them, change them, I've come to fulfill them. And so we live in a time today, all these thousands of years later, where those commandments are as right and unaltered as they ever were when they were first given by a mighty God to a people in order to set us aside. In order to set us aside. Just let me read a short reading from Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus debating with the disciples. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so we see that Jesus himself came and wrapped it up, as it were, with those few words. And what did he do? He was calling to people to repent, to come to the Father in heaven, to continue and to be set aside. And I've not got a reading for this, but we all remember quite well that there was a time when Jesus was preaching and people said, well, sorry, can't take any more of this, I'm off. It's too hard. And quite frankly, that's exactly how I feel. Love thy neighbour as thyself. Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but I can't do that. I cannot do it. How can I possibly do it? I'm full of sin. I'm a sinful man. I'm frail. I'm weak. How can I possibly do that? And so we come to the subject of the afternoon. We know the answer to that, don't we? Because that's why we're here. Now I'm going to read the reading that I've chosen for this morning. And it is, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15. And this is the lovely words of Jesus as he speaks to us today. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Can I just say, before we go on with this reading, watch out for those words again. Jesus has taken the trouble in this talk to say it three times. There's something powerful going on here. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really concentrate on the word of what's being said here by Jesus to us this morning. I'll start again. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. For all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. And so peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I'll stop there. Now, these are powerful, repeated, important words. Because the Lord Jesus knows us, you see. I mean, after all, how God created us and knows us inside out, literally. And the word today for each of us and the church is this, that in this troubled times we live, and in this opportunity we have to proclaim the living God, we're not the people who are going to come into the ark and close the doors when they hear the screaming going on in the streets outside. It just so happens that before I came out from my home this morning, I received a sad phone call. And I'm sure many of you sitting here this morning could be in sympathy with it. A very, very dear friend of mine, a young man, he's only 22. Believe it or not, he's been led into drugs by his father. And he crashed over the weekend and thought he could fly and was standing on a balcony. He didn't jump. Praise the Lord. And I put the phone down and, what can you say? You want to cry? You see, we're in the ark, in a way, and the people are drowning outside. And we know that. And I think we could go on all day if you, my brothers and sisters, would stand and share your heartaches and your prayers. What can we do? We can go to church and we can sing. And we can attend regularly at prayer meetings. But we're not in the ark because we're being saved. We're in the world now. We're swimming back in the water, really. But we're strong swimmers now. Because we're lifesavers. We're in that water that's whirling around. But we're filled by the Holy Spirit. And so we're super swimmers. And now we can receive the Holy Spirit and do God's work and be fit to do God's work, because we're only fit to do God's work if we have the Holy Spirit. And what have we just been reminded of this morning? I will give you the Holy Spirit to those who obey my commands. And so what I've been hit with is this, that we might do all sorts of things in the service of the Lord, and praise the Lord that we do. But unless we're an obedient people, set aside and living differently, even to the point of suffering for it, or not being seen to fit, living differently by obeying God's commands and loving our Lord Jesus Christ, unless that's what we are individually and corporately together as God's church, we haven't got any chance at all of changing anything. But hallelujah, we want to obey him more. We want to love him more. We want to confess our sin. And we want to be mindful of this command. Jesus said three times, if you love me, then you would obey me. And I will send the counselor who will reveal all things to you that I have said. And in that is our hope. In that is our church. And is that in that, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is our victory. And in that, we can claim anything that we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, and it will be done. Amen.